Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Only the second part of verse 10. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray, asking God to bless the preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this precious time of hearing of Your Word. We pray that You will bless the people, Your people who are hearing Your Word. Bless the person who is preaching. That Your will be preached correctly. And that Your Word will be understood by Your people correctly. Let us once again see what Your Son has done and accomplished for us. And see what kind of heavenly blessings that we already have, that we already enjoy. Oh Father, we pray that You and You alone will receive all the glory, even as we preach and we hear Your Word. We thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we continue our journey through the book of Matthew, and we come to this section called the Lord's Prayer, and we are at verse 10b. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Isaiah 55 verse 11 says, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Job chapter 23 verse 13 says, but He is unique, God is unique, and who can turn Him? And what His soul desires, that He does. Job 42 verse 2, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. So, God's will be done, period. Whatever He desires, He does, and it will come true. Then, if that is so, and that is so, then what are we praying for when we pray? Obviously, it's not in those terms. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is no sin in heaven. In heaven, God's will is perfectly and completely obeyed. God's people who are already in heaven, the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and all the angels in heaven, they obey God perfectly. But that is not so here on earth. Sinners do not obey God. And that is what sin is all about, not obeying God. Or even if you try to obey, you cannot obey Him perfectly, and that is also sin. Sinners are in rebellion against God. The issue is always this, do I obey God's will or my own will? Is God my God so that I obey Him, or I am my own God so I do whatever my sinful heart desires? The will of God and the will of this world are always in opposite. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul, in telling us what we have to do to know the will of God, he says, do not be conformed to this world. Because the will of the world, the sinful world, and the will of God, they are always in opposite. Well, God's will can be divided into two categories. Actually, this subject can be very complicated, so I'm not going to go into any of that. But let me just read Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. There it says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. So there, the will of God is divided into two categories. One, the secret will of God, and the other, the revealed will of God. There's secret will of God, like, what's going to happen to me tomorrow? I don't know. But there's also the revealed will of God that you will find in the Bible. God, through the Bible, told us what His will is for everything. And we must accept and obey His will that is revealed to us. And we must accept and obey His will that is secret. We know that whatever that happens is according to God's will. And we must accept and obey all of God's will, both the secret will of God and the revealed will of God, knowing fully that everything happens according to His will. Thus, the Apostle Paul often says, if God wills, or if the Lord wills. Go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Let's read it from verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet, you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. How about you? As you pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you have no intention of obeying God. Then it is just babbling or meaningless repetition that we saw before. Then, when you pray this without intention of obeying God, then you pray like the hypocrites. In order for us to understand what we are really praying when we pray this, we're going to go to Job. Let us go to Book of Job. Now, we simply don't have enough time to look at the whole Book of Job, but let me read a few verses from chapter 1. Verse 1 says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless, upright, fearing God and turning away from evil. Very, very righteous person. And verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God, meaning angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. Then Satan answered the Lord, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you and your face. Then the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him. So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. And if you read from verse 13, Job loses everything, all of his wealth and his sons and his daughters and everything that he had. But it is interesting because if we look at the verse 8, it is not Satan, but it is God who initiates the dialogue about Job. If God did not bring out Job, all these things would not happen to Job. But it was God who initiates. He brings Job into the dialogue. What is God saying when he does that? Well, he is in fact saying, do you remember, Satan, what I told you in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15? The seed of woman will come and destroy you and your seeds. And God is saying to Satan, he is in fact saying, does not Job fit the description of the seed of woman? And Satan says, no way. Well, let's go to chapter 2 of Job. Read it from verse 1 again. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Then Satan answered to the Lord and said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Same thing again. For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. And he still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause. Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. However, put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you in your face. So the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your power, only spare his life. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a potsherd to scrape himself while he was sitting among the ashes. So you get the picture. The agony, the suffering that he goes through. Verse 9, then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." Wow. Very good wife. Verse 10, but he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish," woman speaks. "Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. And if you go to chapter 1, verse 20, after he lost all of his wealth and his family, daughters and sons, verse 20 of chapter 1, then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. He said, "Naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave me and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. And when you read that, what is your response? Well, you probably go, "Wow, Job is the man." When all that happened, when Satan did all that to him, he did not sin. He did not blame God. But the book of Job does not end at chapter 2. We have 40 more chapters to go. It seems that Job's battle with Satan is over, and Job appears to be the victor. But as you will know, if you read the rest of the Job, the real battle is just beginning. And that battle is the battle with himself. Three friends come to Job, and long dialogues begin. And summary of what they said to Job is this: "Job, you must have sinned against God, and that is why all these terrible things are happening to you. Repent of your sins." That's the summary of all these three friends are saying. And Job says to that, "No. I did nothing wrong. God knows that I did nothing wrong. God is my witness that I did not do anything wrong." Chapter 10, verse 2 and 3. "I will say to God," Job says, "do not condemn me. Let me know why you contend with me. Is it right for you, God, indeed, to oppress, to reject the labor of your hands, and to look favorably on the schemes of the wicked?" Job starting to contend with God. Job shows his displeasure of how God is dealing with him. He cannot and will not accept and obey the will of God for him. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like what is going on. And he is saying to himself, "I didn't do anything wrong. Why are these things happening to me?" He wants to take God to the court. But in chapter 38 of Job, let us go there. God finally speaks to Job. Verse 1, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man, and I will ask you, and you instruct me. Do you sense the sarcasm there? Job, teach me something here. And verse 4, Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who set its measurements, since you know? Or who stretched the line on it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shout for joy. And if you go to chapter 40, verse 6. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm and said, Now gird up your loins like a man, I will ask you, and you instruct me. Will you really know my judgment? Will you condemn me that you may be justified? Or do you have an arm like God, and can you thunder with a voice like His? What is God doing? He's asking Job so many questions from chapter 38 all the way to chapter 41. He's asking these kind of questions. Where were you when I create the universe? Where were you when I create all these animals? What is he saying to Job? I am the Almighty, all-knowing God. I control everything in this universe. Everything is mine. I created all things and I rule all things. Don't I have the right and the ability to do with you any way I desire? What if that suffering that you are going through, what if that is my will for you? Then what? As an all-knowing God, all-powerful God, I know what I'm doing. Well, Job finally understands. So if you go to chapter 42, verse 1, The Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have declared that which I did not understand. When I was complaining, I did that because I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear now, and I will speak. I will ask you, God, and you instruct me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes sees you. Before I just heard about you, but now I see you. Therefore I retract and I repent in dust and ashes. Many people do well to fight with Satan. But the real fight begins when you think that you did well against Satan so that you deserve something. What do you really deserve as sinners? Any suffering that you might go through. I'm in the worst situation. It's far better than what you really deserve. But even at that, if you understand that suffering, it's actually blessings of God. Your will be done. When you pray, what are you saying? What are you saying to God? Because from chapter 3 of Job, he was not praying this, your will be done. No. So many people, when it is so clear that I have to fight with Satan, they do very well. But the real fight is battling with yourself. And the only way for you to win that battle, battling with yourself, only way to win that battle is to completely surrender to God, completely obey God. Completely accept His will. Because nothing happens if it is not His will. Brothers and sisters, do you really mean it? Thy will be done? Do you really mean it? Job is not the true seed of woman. Thank God. Because if he was, then there is no salvation. The true seed of woman had to come. The Messiah that Job was pointing to, he had to come. And he came. He is our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. Then I said, Behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. So Jesus is saying this. To do your will, O God. Jesus came to do God's will. After saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them which are offered according to the law, then he said, Behold, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said to them, My food, is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. This is how Jesus lived. Completely obey God. Chapter 5 of John, verse 30. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Chapter 8 of John, verse 29. And He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to Him. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Verse 39. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Verse 42. He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. Jesus prayed this prayer. Our Lord Jesus Christ is truly sinless. Unlike Job, he really did not do anything wrong. But he never complained. He didn't do anything to deserve all that sufferings and death that he went through. But he never complained, but always perfectly accepted and obeyed the will of God. God's will, listen very carefully, God's will was completely and perfectly done on earth as it is in heaven by our Lord Jesus Christ. This prayer has already been answered by Jesus Christ. And the will of God has been completely and perfectly revealed by our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself is the will of God. Yes, through Jesus Christ and what he has done and accomplished, God's will is and will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. By all of his people who are in Jesus Christ. All of his people will be like Christ. And there are many places we could go for this, but Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. Did you hear that? We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. So even all those bad things that happened to Job, it was happening for his own good. It was God's will for Job. But Job, from chapter 2, cannot say, Your will be done. He could not say that. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he will be the firstborn among many brethren. All these things happen for the good, and that good is that all of us will become like Christ, conformed to his image. Yes, Job was blessed, because he was allowed to live that same life of suffering and death, the life that Christ lived. And yet, Job did not understand. So, brothers and sisters, again, what we pray in the Lord's Prayer are already fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Thus again, we are able to pray with confidence because His will has been done here on earth as it is in heaven by Jesus Christ. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are again desiring and seeking our Lord Jesus Christ through this prayer. He is the only one who perfectly accomplished and fulfilled this. In Him, all of God's will is fulfilled in His church and His people, and is being fulfilled and will be perfectly consummated when our Lord Jesus Christ comes back to gather His people into His kingdom. Even as we pray this prayer today, we witness that this prayer is fulfilled in His church, in us, by our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we gather to worship God according to His will. And sinners will not obey His will, but we do. What happened? Wow, Christ has already fulfilled us. Brothers and sisters, you must obey Him. This is not an option. See, nowadays, not obeying God is just accepted in the church. And you have to make sure that that does not happen here, in this church. Just letting people sin is now compassion. You have so much compassion, more compassion than God Himself. Because He doesn't allow it. But you do. As we pray this prayer, we are praying for His return, His coming, because then, only then, this prayer will be completely and perfectly consummated. As we pray this prayer, we are also praying for His kingdom to come, because it is in His kingdom that this prayer will be completely and perfectly consummated. As we pray this prayer, we are also praying for us to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. He obeyed His Father perfectly, and in Him we obey God perfectly. We must witness our reality of heaven that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. In heaven, you and I will obey God perfectly, will accept, will receive, will obey His will perfectly. And that life of heaven has already begun in Jesus Christ. You live that life. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Don't pray it unless you mean it. Because otherwise you're just babbling. Do you really mean it? Thy will be done. Is that your food that you eat every day? Is that your desire? Thy will be done. We desire that that reality of heaven will be witnessed here on earth through us, through His church. Oh, brothers and sisters, I pray that because of His grace, that all of us will be able to pray this with sincere heart. That it is our prayer. That it is our desire. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You that Your will has been fulfilled here on earth as it is in heaven by our Lord Jesus Christ. And that we're able to pray this with confidence because it's already accomplished. And it is being accomplished in Your church, in our lives. And we know that one day it will be completely and perfectly consummated in us in your church. So even as we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you that prayer has been fulfilled and being fulfilled, and it will completely and perfectly fulfilled. Jesus Christ, if we ever want to know what is the will of God, what pleases you, all we have to do is look at Jesus Christ. Look at how he lived. We thank you that his life is now our life. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.